In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It doesn't take long in the Christ half of the church year for the boy Jesus to grow up. It was just a week ago that you heard about the 12-year-old Jesus in the temple. The day after that, the church observed Epiphany and regressed about 10 years to when Jesus would have been no more than 2 years old when he was visited by sages from the East. Today, however, he is about 30 years old. Luke doesn't give an exact age, but he does supply a date, relatively speaking. Now, the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip tetrarch of Iturea and the region of Trachonitis, and Licinius tetrarch of Abilene, while Annas and Caiaphas were high priests. The word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. It was at this time that John preached in the wilderness the sermon just before today's pericope, the same time when all the people were baptized, and that Jesus also was baptized. John was a man who, immediately after he was born, was proclaimed by his father as the prophet of the Most High, the one who will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Some 30 years later, John was in all the region around the Jordan preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Matthew and Mark added that John was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Typical wilderness prophet stuff. Matthew and Mark also wrote that Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. It's not a stretch to assume that this motley group of people included not only ordinary Jews, but also those who belonged to the Pharisees and Sadducees, even Gentile converts and curious Gentiles, Romans, Greeks, Parthians, etc., all going to John in the Jordan wilderness and being baptized by him for the forgiveness of their sins, or just watching the spectacle, if nothing else. And John's baptism worked the forgiveness of sins. Those who came to John and received his preaching confessed their sins and were baptized for the forgiveness of sins in the Jordan River. John was in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance. Repentance is the acknowledgement of and sorrow for sin, which is worked by God through the preaching of the law. Those who received John's preaching by the law received contrition for their sin and repented of it. It is then that through the preaching of the gospel that John directed the repentant to trust in Christ for the forgiveness of sins. He made it clear that the source of forgiveness was Jesus Christ, as you may recall from his interaction with the priests and Levites that John the Evangelist records. And this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing, if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one who you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." Or as he says in today's gospel lesson, "I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." John was fulfilling the word spoken of him at his birth. By preaching a baptism of repentance, John was going before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. As it also happened on this day during the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, etc., etc., Jesus came to John to be baptized. Matthew pointed out that John tried to prevent him from being baptized. I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? You might imagine that John is shocked at this. "I am the sinner. You are the sinless one," he could have said. "What need do you have of a baptism for the forgiveness of sins? You are the source of forgiveness." And John is right. But Jesus said, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Jesus needed John's baptism to fulfill all righteousness. In a sense, Jesus needed John's baptism to be the source of forgiveness, to win forgiveness for sinful man. For it is in being baptized that Jesus unites himself with sinful man and becomes the sinner for you. I like to tell confirmation students that in being baptized, Jesus became the designated sinner or designated sin bearer for them. But there are other words and phrases that are familiar that also get the point across. Substitute, vicarious atonement, the propitiation for our sins. In his baptism, Jesus becomes all of these for you in order to fulfill all righteousness. And you can look at it this way as well. A great multitude came to John to be baptized by him for the forgiveness of sins. He brought them down into the Jordan to wash them, pointing to Christ as the source of the washing. You can look at the Jordan waters as being spiritually filthy waters then. And into that water, Jesus goes and is baptized. Into those spiritually filthy waters. An act that shatters the perceptions of holiness and his high priesthood, taking all of that filth upon himself. It is no accident then that the baptism of Jesus is the beginning of his ministry as Messiah. For the previous 30 or so years, he learned and worked at the craft of his stepfather, making only brief appearances, if you will, as the Son of God, such as at the temple at 12 years old. Now he breaks away from that life, receives John's baptism, and begins his ministry. He begins his arduous 3-year journey to Jerusalem and the cross, teaching, healing all manner of diseases, casting out demons, raising the dead, forgiving sins, and making enemies who would crucify him. He begins his way toward the cross by taking into his flesh the sin of the world. But how does he do that for those who were, are, and will be baptized after he was? You might ask. Because in his baptism, Jesus sanctified the waters of this world for baptism, to work the benefits he promised in his word: forgiveness of sins, rescue from death and the devil, and eternal salvation to all who believe this. For it is written in Mark 16, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." And in 1 Peter 3, "Baptism now saves you." It is the same as saying that at the cross, every sin that was committed and that will be committed was nailed with Jesus and there died with him. It is a time-defying miracle, as it has been countlessly been explained to me. It is futile to attempt any explanation beyond that. You have to take it on faith because the Word of God declares it to be so. So it is that Jesus came to John to be baptized. This is he of whom John said, "His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." It is incumbent to recognize the one who joins himself to you in his baptism also as your judge. The words John spoke to his hearers are important to hear. "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Yes, dear baptized, you must also hear the law of God. Or do you not recall that baptism indicates that the old Adam in us should by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and that a new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever? Your baptism is not a one-day deal. It's not that you were baptized. No, you are baptized. And even if you were not yet baptized, the word of God's law would be for you too. Contrition and repentance can be worked apart from baptism, especially in those who want to believe. As an example, recall the contrite thief on the cross next to Jesus. Or perhaps look even to John's hearers in today's gospel. So, do not flee from the wrath to come. You will most certainly be faced with bouts of faithlessness. The toils and stresses of life on this earth will be difficult to bear. Stresses with health, relationship, work, finances, etc., can drive one to the point that they doubt God's love, presence, and providence, to the point where they curse God. However, I proclaim to you that these are not signs that God does not care, but that the contrary is true. These are manifestations of God's fatherly will that you should not rely on yourself, but on Him. That you do not claim grace or favor because of who you are, or where you come from, or from whom you are descended, but that you look to God for grace and favor through His Son. That you confess your sins for what they are, in contrition and repentance, bearing that fruit in keeping with repentance, and receive the forgiveness His Son won for you on the cross, where He died with all of those where He died with all of those sins washed upon Him when He was baptized. Jesus also had been baptized and was praying. The heavens were opened and the Holy Spirit descended on Him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." Coming up out of the water, Jesus prayed. As He prayed, heaven opened. What a miracle! Heaven didn't open for anyone else baptized that day, or any day before, or any day since. The Spirit hasn't descended upon anyone since in bodily form like a dove when they were baptized. No voice came from heaven for anyone else proclaiming them God's beloved Son, in whom He is well pleased. Because you see, sin keeps heaven shut to everyone else. And so in order to fulfill all righteousness, Jesus was baptized. In His baptism, Jesus opened heaven for you. For He bears the keys of heaven itself, as He proclaimed to John the Evangelist. "Fear not, I am the first and the last, the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades." dear friends in Christ. That is why Jesus went to John to be baptized, to fulfill all righteousness. He was washed in order that heaven would be opened to you, so that your sins will be washed unto him, and you in turn receive his righteousness and be received through him into the presence of his Father in heaven. For in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What a blessed exchange. And so it is because of that exchange that in your baptism you do receive the Holy Spirit, not in the form of a dove, but as your comforter. Because of that most blessed exchange in your baptism, God in Christ claims you as his Son, in whom he is well pleased. Yes, dear hearers, what a blessed exchange. Because of that exchange, it is my joy and privilege to proclaim to you who receive this word of God that you are forgiven for all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.